Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of the program. I'm Tim with Walker and Ray, and Fred Jackson has been replaced here for this half hour by Chris Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Fred, I think, wanted to check out the Capitals rally or parade in Washington.
Oh, the NHL team won the Stanley Cup.
The hockey stuff.
Hey, I'm going to ask you guys a question. Jim Acosta, we've been talking about the summit between the president and the North Korean dictator the last 24 hours. Jim Acosta from CNN, I was reading a story about from Fox News about him, Jim Acosta of CNN. Yeah, I know he's a reporter and everything for the White House. I guess he follows the president around, but does he just yell out stuff all the time? This is what he yelled out. You got a meeting going on between the president and the North Korean dictator, and this is what Jim Acosta yells out. So are you going to give up your nukes? He yells out at him while they're having these, you know, a photo op. I don't know. It's just, I know you have a job to do, and maybe sometimes you have to be aggressive, but this guy has a reputation of being a jerk.
I think he wants people to talk about him. There's no I in Acosta, but he only cares about Jim Acosta.
Have you? I don't watch CNN much, but he got this reputation?
Yes. He's known for arguing with Sarah Huckabee Sanders and being kind of a smarmy.
He's a Sam Donaldson of today.
Yes.
For those who remember, or maybe
Sam
even
had better hair.
Okay. But you know what I'm talking about, Ray? You watch his style, Jim Acosta.
Yeah, and he's aggressive and in your face, and he wants. I think he loves the airtime, the FaceTime, right? So, what better way to do it than interrupt a deal between Mr. Trump and Kim Jong Un?
You know, I love those when President Trump either ignores him or tells them to be quiet, because I think there were some times in the Oval Office when they do these formal or these informal kind of photo ops, or their formal photo ops, and oftentimes President Trump will tell Jim Acosta and others just he'll ignore him or tell him to be quiet, or that one time he told him it was a stupid question. Jim Acosta's like the spoiled rich kid on the playground who everybody is annoyed with. So, that doesn't prevent him from doing his grandstanding that he often does.
Yeah, I know. There's a fine line there. Mm-hmm. You want reporters to be aggressive and ask hard questions of your leaders in government.
Right.
That's their job. On the other hand, you cross over into being the word obnoxious and rude, and just day after day you're making yourself the story rather than the story being the story. By the way, did you guys see this Anthony
Bourdain?
Bourdain.
Mm-hmm. Bourdain committed suicide a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. Did you
saw that?
I had seen his show on I watched him when he was on I guess it was the Travel Channel, and I enjoyed his show. Now, when he switched over to CNN, I didn't watch.
Became a little more political.
Yeah, I didn't watch because he gave no outward appearance. Of course, people don't when they're celebrities, I guess, much that he would do something like this, commit suicide.
Yeah. But
hung himself in a hotel in Paris. Mm-hmm. Do you see that, Ray?
You know, his mother was quoted as saying, And she's what, 80 something? She just quoted as saying she saw no signs of it coming. He had money. He had fame. She said something like he had more fame than he ever dreamed of and more money than he knew what to do with. And then something like, why would he do this? And that's always the question, isn't it? And all we can say, it does remind me, Tim, of the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, money and fame and wealth and all that money can buy, it's good, but it really doesn't satisfy the deepest needs of the heart. Mm. And he was there's a lot of people. I enjoyed watching his shows because mm-hmm. he demystified food. He demystified cuisine. And he would go to Vietnam and he'd go to Morocco up into the Atlas Mountains. And this great chef would eat real. Well, he would eat a lot of stuff the rest of us wouldn't even touch.
Right.
So it just goes to show you can have fame and fortune and still be very empty on the inside. Very, 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 very sad story.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess he leaves a daughter and mm-hmm. and a widow. But just, man, it's one of those shocking things. Somebody has all the, as his mom said,
right.
the fame, the money, the publicity, the got what appears to be a good life.
Yeah.
But evidently, no peace of soul.
Right, and his death followed that of a designer, a handbag designer named Kate Spade, who made a lot of money in the 90s making and selling handbags. She actually sold her brand to Neiman Marcus for a ginormous sum of money, and she was set for life as a result of that. And then, of course, you've got Robin Williams.
Right.
Seemingly one of the funniest and happiest people on the planet, but obviously mm-hmm. he had some issues.
Yeah, he suffered from depression. But, you know, I was reading yesterday a story about suicides are on the rise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you just wonder why. Maybe it's people.
I'm no psychologist, but just pure observation. You have a lot of these. Well, you just have so much technology and not as much human interaction
right.
and you know, conversation and connection. Personal connection, and you got a lot of alcohol, drug abuse, problems like that, a lot of broken homes. So you add in all of that, which, like Ray said.
Prescription drug addiction, too, is big today.
Yeah, yeah.
Opioids and things mm-hmm. like this, which can affect your mind.
Right. So like Ray said, no matter how much money you have and things like that, if you're depressed or down and out and you have a broken home life, that those things add up. And oftentimes leads people to take their own life.
Yeah. Right.
The word broken, Walker, is a good word to describe broken families and broken homes and broken communities, broken cities. We live in a broken world, don't we?
Yeah.
And it's one of the ironies. We've never had more. We've never, as a human race, we've never had more money. We've never had more technology. We've never had a better standard of living. And yet we are broken on the outside because we are broken on the inside. Mm-hmm. And we want to say to people, there is real hope in Jesus Christ. Real hope. And, you know, if there's anybody out there listening, let me just say, if anybody out there listening and you feel hopeless and helpless and you are considering some drastic step, such as ending your own life, before you take that step, there are people who care. There are pastors, there are churches, there are Christian organizations, there are friends who love you. You're not as alone as you think you are. And before you take the final step and leave such agony and pain and guilt in the people who are left behind, before you take that step, don't do it. Pick up the phone, call somebody, make a connection. It doesn't have to end the way it did for Kate Spade and for mm-hmm. Anthony Bourdain.
Mm-hmm. Amen, brother. Great word there. A gospel word that Bray's talking about. Jesus Christ gives us hope for today and hope for tomorrow and hope for eternity. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next up, what's your next story there?
Well, it's primary day in a lot of states, some of which we have stations in, but it's primary day in Virginia, Maine, Nevada, North Dakota, and South Carolina. In Virginia, Republicans are going to take their first step toward trying to win a statewide race for the first time in almost a decade. In South Carolina, you've got a Democratic candidate for Congress who admitted to beating his ex-wife 45 years ago. He's staying in the race. But apparently the big state to watch, according to a lot of so-called experts, is going to be Maine. That's because Maine is conducting a groundbreaking experiment of sorts. Maine's going to be the first state of the nation to use what's called ranked choice voting in statewide primaries. Have you guys heard about this?
Mm-mm.
All right. Ranked choice voting lets voters rank candidates from favorite to least favorite. If a candidate gets a majority of the votes, he or she wins. If no candidate wins a majority, a complex system of elimination kicks in based on voters' rankings. And the reason a lot of people are paying attention to this is because the experiment could be a game changer and possibly increase the odds of success for third-party candidates, which is something a lot of people have called for in recent years, on top of various liberals that might want to do away with.
So not only do you get to vote for them just a yes or no, but you get to grade them like a scale of 1 to 10?
Yes. In Maine.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I don't know who came up with this idea, but we will certainly be watching that and, Lord willing, have some results for you guys in the next day or so on onenewsnow.com. Also, Tim mentioned opioids a minute ago. President Trump has said we're going to, you know, combat this problem. Members of the House, Republicans and Democrats, have said as much. But the House is set to vote today on bills aimed at fighting a deadly opioid epidemic. The House Energy and Commerce Committee, guys, has apparently approved 57 opioid bills and sent them to the full House for consideration. The measures include proposals that aim to stop illegal drugs like fentanyl from entering the country and change how opioids are distributed. Because nearly 64,000 opioid overdose deaths were recorded in the U.S. in 2016, the highest number recorded in a single year. This has been a big problem. I've talked about it with doctors from Christian Medical Association, other physicians groups, and it will continue to be an issue until more of these efforts are made to combat the problem.
The opioid addiction problem?
Yes, sir.
I don't know. Boy, got to be careful about saying what I'm about to say.
Okay.
But I'm about to say it. You know, drug addiction like this is first and foremost an issue that the person has to deal with. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If somebody's going to be addicted to drugs, and you can say alcohol too, yeah, you need help, but if the person doesn't want help, you see what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
I don't know what role the government can play in success or failure of dealing with the opioid crisis.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Go ahead, Ray.
Well, certainly part of it, Tim, is the government can crack down on the easy availability.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Yes. Right.
They're too easy in many parts of the country. It's like getting candy almost. And we got to find a way to turn off that spigot. It's become too easy for people who are already addicted to get more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's twofold. Responsibility, at the end of the day, the ultimate responsibility rests with the individual.
The person putting it into their body.
That's right. But there are other layers to it
that
hopefully can at least prevent, in some instances, of unnecessary abuse.
I remember hearing someone say one time that alcoholism was the only disease that you could get in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I got you.
Sure.
But people have to take. I sound like I'm unsympathetic to addiction. I'm not, because I know people could get. Mm. Addiction is compulsive behavior that an individual has a hard time stopping or cannot stop, and they need help. I understand that, but it's still at the end of the day, if people don't control themselves, I'm not so sure. It is what Ray said. It was the role of the government is to try to get the handle on the distribution side that you say, would you say handing out drugs like candy?
Yeah.
Right.
You
we've made it too easy.
A simple analogy is just like the speed limit on the highway. Not everybody's going to abide by it, but
you still got to enforce
for the overall safety of the people on the road. Got to have a speed limit.
That's a good analogy. Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. When we're talking about these opioids, Chris, are we talking about like painkillers?
Yes. Yeah.
For the most part,
painkillers have opioids, but not all painkillers contain opioids. And so basically they're going to try to
But opioids are a class of drugs. that are highly addictive. True.
Right. Yes, and there are.
Is that like OxyContin, that kind of thing?
Yes, that's one of them. There's PSAs actually coming out now, showing people like breaking their hand with a hammer to try to go to the doctor to get opioids to show how serious the problem is. And this is the Trump administration doing PSAs. That's not the Obama White House.
Right. I guess people get either people get addicted to the feeling of those opioids. And then there are some people who are in chronic pain, I guess, who...
Well, you know, if you are recovering from surgery, if you have chronic pain, if you've been in some terrible accident, I mean, the folks will tell you, those power... There's a reason they're addictive. They really, really, really work.
Right.
They're and to first you use it to get rid of the pain, and then you use it... You get so used to it, you can't imagine living without it.
Gotcha. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Next story, Chris. Right.
This is from CBS New York. A Long Island man is being fined more than $20,000 for chopping down trees in his own yard. He says the trees were a danger to his family and his property, but officials in his village disagree, saying he didn't go through the proper government channels and now has to pay up or face jail time. The guy's name is Pericles Linardos. He's lived in this Nassau County wooded property since he was 12. I'm not sure how old he is now, but judging by the video I saw, he's probably in his 50s, so he's lived here for a long time. The trees were damaged by Superstorm Sandy. He brought in some tree experts. They consulted the situation, said it was necessary to make the property safer. They removed them. Then the government showed up and fined him $22,500. If he doesn't pay, he faces 15 days in jail, and he is adamant he'd rather go to jail than pay the unfair fines. Does this show or say to you guys that you might own the property, but you don't really own the property?
You know, trees? You got
what?
The trees were cut out, you know, but the government, the question is about government infringement on private property. But this guy's trees were destroyed. They were rotting, right?
Yes.
Well, you got to cut them down. I think he had every right to cut those things. Some of these neighborhoods have covenants, probably in cities do, because they do want their greenery and their trees protected for the beauty of the overall city. I understand that, but if this guy had his trees were dying because they were killed in this storm, I don't see what the problem is.
This is one of those where technically he might have broken an ordinance, but it's one of those things where the local city officials should say, look, guys, the trees were dead.
Right.
They had to come down.
Right.
So don't unnecessarily fine the guy. It's not like he's selling 100 acres of hardwoods that are in the city without getting a permit.
Yeah.
I got a tree. Go ahead, Ray.
He was doing the right thing. The trees needed to be cut down, right?
Right.
So
I can just imagine that conversation. So what are you in for? I cut down my trees.
I mean, I'm a drug dealer. What are you in for? I cut down two trees in my backyard, and I'm here.
$22,000.
But $22,000. That's I can't seem to justify that.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe a couple hundred dollars.
All right, what's next?
All right, Seattle, as we mentioned at the newscast at the top of the hour, Seattle city leaders are meeting today. I'm not sure what time, but they're going to decide their next step in combating homelessness and providing cheaper housing. The city of Seattle wants to tax big companies $275 per full-time worker each year, but big corporations like Amazon, Starbucks, and other companies, which have a lot of employees in Seattle, spoke out against the tax, said it was unfair, said it was... it was going to do all sorts of bad stuff. So city leaders said, we hear you. We're going to work to repeal the tax. They're going to meet later today to talk about this. Here's the thing. They actually threw out the initial tax would have been $500 per full-time worker each year. And I spoke with a gentleman named Paul Guppy of the Washington Policy Center there in Washington State. He says Seattle's already spent over $1 billion in recent years on homeless programs with nothing to show for it. They actually had a 10 years to end homelessness program that ended in failure in 2015. So throwing more money at Seattle to combat this problem is not going to fix it. What do you guys think?
So they wanted to collect. So the city of Seattle wanted to tax the corporations that were in their city mm-hmm. $200+ an employee mm-hmm.
every year
to pay for a homeless program.
Right. Seattle has a problem where they have really expensive housing, and on top of that, they have a really increasing homelessness rate. It's one of the worst in the country. And so their grand idea was to tax these wealthy
companies.
But
Amazon and Starbucks are very liberal companies.
They are. And that was what was interesting. We brought that up when I mentioned that Howard Schultz, you know, said he might, you know, well, people were pushing Howard
So they're
Schultz
very liberal companies, except when it comes to taxing them.
Right. Right. When it comes right. to taxing them.
Then they change.
In Amazon's case.
Then they're
case,
conservative.
Sure. In Amazon's case, I'm not sure how many, well, Starbucks, I don't know how many employees Starbucks has in Seattle, but we had reports early on when this idea was floated that Amazon has like 45,000 employees
yes.
in Seattle. $275 per person.
Yeah, you're looking at $11, $12, $13 million a year.
In just one city.
Yeah.
Right.
And oh yeah, by the way, Amazon's been looking for a second headquarters for many months now. Mm-hmm. What's to stop them from saying, you know what, never mind Seattle, we'll just move to Raleigh or wherever it is.
You know, Ray, that seems to be what happens here is the natural trend of folks who, even though they may be politically liberal, they don't like paying higher taxes.
When
so
it comes to your pocketbook,
exactly.
Everybody suddenly becomes a conservative, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
one saying I heard one time described a conservative is a liberal man who has now two teenage daughters.
Right.
That's what turns them into a conservative.
That's what's happening in California and New York and a few other states. The people there may be liberal politically, but when it comes to finances, they're getting taxed out the wazoo. So they're leaving these states, and it's leaving not enough tax revenue to take care of the social welfare programs.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know what to do about this homelessness problem. It's growing in out west. It sounds like mm-hmm. in these West Coast cities. I don't know. Do you set up camps, Ray, for these people?
I don't think anybody really knows the answer to that. But I mean, they have a problem in Chicago, but they have a problem in Dallas. They have a problem, and it's big. San Francisco, up in Seattle. Tim, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
It's a tough
one. Not an easy one, but I'm just thinking if you had camps to go to, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Rather than just have people sleeping on the streets, and because, you know, it's bad for business. It's bad for your community if you've got people just, you know, lining the streets of your city, you know. You know, all the problems that come with that, I won't describe them all, that come with that, and you don't want to be inhumane or uncaring about people's, you know, misfortune. Some of them have misfortune, other of them just don't want any responsibility, you know, or they're alcoholics or drug addicts or something like that. But you can't, if you're a city, though, you just can't have these people laying everywhere, anywhere they want to, because you have tourists that come to town, for example. Mm-hmm. They don't want to...
People come to town for a ball game.
Yeah,
the Mariners
conventions and things of that nature. You got to have law and order, and
right.
you can't have people just setting up camp anywhere they want to. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on AFR. So Ray, you're off. When will you be back on with us?
Next Tuesday.
Well, safe travels.
Thank you.
Safe travels, and Walker, you'll be back with me tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir. Be here all week,
Chris.
I'll
thanks
be back
for
here.
Thanks for bringing us the news of the day.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Where can people read more about the news that we provide here?
Thank you for asking. OneNewsNow.com. OneNewsNow.com. Spell out one. We've got all sorts of stuff, many of which we'll be following for you in the coming days, especially North Korea.
All right. Thanks. Thanks to Brent Creeley for producing our show today. And you for listening, folks. We thank you very much. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Keep listening to American Family Radio.